Welcome to room 4216. I'm so glad you've come.
And do you know what that sound means, Cecilia?
I have no idea.
It means it's February and spring training is about to begin for baseball.
Oh.
Well, actually, it's not. I don't know if you heard. Right now, there's a lockout, and they're arguing back and forth of money and who should be paid how much, because there's so much money in the pot, and the owners want to keep it, but the players are saying, hey, we make the money for you, so we want some of this pot, and so I don't know if we're going to have baseball starting right away. Maybe
not
when you
again.
All hear this, people, you'll know, but right now, as we record in February, it's a lockout. Yep. All about money. That's what discourages me, because sports can be fun. Football was fun, but then money entered in, and I'm discouraged by that. Now baseball, it's entering in. But, you know, actually, there's a lot in the Bible that talks about money and this whole thing of coveting as well. And that's actually what we're going to be talking about today in room 4216. And now we bring you a story from out east. It is called The Two Sisters. And note that is sisters, not cisterns. We're not talking about a water thing. We're talking about two females.
Just get on with it.
Oh, okay. Well, Dad had these two girls that he loved so very much. And to help them and to help his family, he started a tour business company. And he involved the two daughters, Joyce.
Hello, I'm Joyce.
And Angelina.
Hi there, I'm Angelina.
Now, excuse me one moment there, Angelina. It's not on the script, but we're out east, and you don't have a Eastern voice there.
I got sent to a Southern finishing school, and they made fun of my New York accent. So I sort of flowed into a Southern accent, you know?
As noted, one daughter, Joyce, is in the office working with the phones.
I'm sorry, that tour is all booked.
Schedules.
And the
booking.
You want to go on to the tour
that
on
makes
Niagara
an
Falls?
Office work.
Oh, certainly that tour is available.
The other daughter, Angelina, is leading the tours.
Now on the left we see Ellis Island. That was where all our ancestors came through, including my favorite person, Zsa Zsa Gabor.
Excuse me there, Miss Angelina. Are you sure she came through Ellis Island?
Well,
I think she just flew into the city and started.
How would you know?
Career. Because I am the narrator. Anyway, we shall go on. One day, while fixing the bus, the mechanic took the bus out of gear and rolled over Dad, and Dad died. Well, Daddy's body wasn't in the ground but a day or so, and the two sisters began to squabble over what to do with the company that Daddy just gave them, their inheritance. Angelo wanted to take...
Angelina.
Oh, I'm so sorry there, Angelina. She wanted to take and run Daddy's dream to complete fruition.
Obviously, you didn't go to finishing school. That's fruition.
Whatever, ma'am. I went to reporting school. I'm just a reporter.
Obviously.
Anyway, but your dream.
Oh, yes. Daddy wanted to cover all the boroughs and then maybe spread to other states. Maybe even Mississippi.
But Joyce, the other daughter, said it's ridiculous and impossible.
Impossible? Geesh. The numbers just don't add up. We're going to need more staff. to answer the phone, the booking. And then we're going to need more office space and more bus drivers. And talk about the insurance. I am sick and tired of you and your numbers, numbers, numbers. You have simply no imagination. I think I'm going to take my half of the inheritance and go off and continue Daddy's dream. Well, I'm going to take the tour company all the way to Mississippi while you stay here in the office and punch that silly old calculator all you want.
But Joyce had a different idea.
And speaking of numbers, our assets are limited. Our overhead is constant. Our reserves are minimal. You can't divide the company just now. It'll drive both companies into the ground. Just wait until the books are balanced and the cash reserves can cover both debts. Daddy wouldn't want us to take the inheritance he gave us and just squander it all.
But Angelina was bound and determined to go in the direction that she had decided long time before.
Well, that last tour that I took to the Funny Farm brought in lots of cash. We got enough to pay off the first bus and buy another one. We got lots of money, you penny pincher. Do you mean penny pincher? Whatever. Just give me my half of the inheritance right now.
Let's turn to our reading in of Luke in chapter 12, verses 13 through 15.
Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions."
And our story out east continues, as it's written here. The Lady Angela has become...
That's Angelina. Oh, Angelina.
That's right. Angelina has become wealthy.
I'm rich. I'm rich. I am so rich. Look at all my buses. Mr. Narrator, do you see all my buses?
No, I can't, because they're here, there, and everywhere.
You know, you're right. They're scattered in four different garages all around town. I know what I'll do. I'll sell them four garages, and I'll build one huge garage. And there, I'll put all my buses.
And that is what Angelina did. And the business grew.
I have been doing this business for 30 years. Angelina's adventure tours has spread into 20 states, including Mississippi, of course. I know what I'll do. I'll sell my business to my sister Joyce. And then I'll take life easy. I'll take myself on a tour around the world.
While Angelina's business grew, so did Joyce. Joyce, an entrepreneur herself, got into the bus building business and sold buses and made a big boom of money. Well, it was only the day after the business was sold. Angelina was packing for her world trip when she fell over and died. At the funeral, people were coming up to Joyce, giving their condolences and making comments about what was going on.
What kind of headstone did I buy? Well, I bought a simple headstone, a practical ending for my wasteful sister. Oh, yeah, thanks for coming. Hi, thanks for coming. Hey, who are you?
Hi, I'm Sam. I'm one of the bus drivers. You know, she may have squandered her money, but it occurs to me, you save your money like a penny pincher. Have you ever thought of maybe investing in your bus trip to Haven?
Luke chapter 12, verses 16 through 21.
And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said to himself, "This is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And then I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your very life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?' This is how it will be for anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich toward God."
I'll bring you more than a song. A song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within. Through the way things appear, you're looking into my mind. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you.
Drink and be merry. You may have heard this phrase before, but actually the phrase is eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die.
It's a little different.
Some people attribute this to the Roman gladiators at the feast the night before they went into the arena. But I was doing research just to check my facts, and I found to my surprise that it is a paraphrase of a Bible verse. Isaiah chapter 22, verses 13 and 14. "But see, there is joy and revelry, slaughtering of cattle and killing of sheep, eating of meat and drinking of wine. Let us eat and drink, you say, for tomorrow we die. The Lord Almighty
has revealed this in my hearing. Till your dying day, this sin will not be atoned for, says the Lord Almighty.
Hmm. Wow. Wow. So Isaiah was written in 700 BC. So that phrase of enjoy a day, because tomorrow you're going to die, was around way back then. You know, in some ways, you could almost say, eat, drink, and be merry today, for tomorrow we'll die. God is saying, no, don't eat and drink today because tomorrow you'll die, but instead, because you're going to die tomorrow, repent today. That's why there's no atonement for that sin of eating and drinking. If we live only for today, you know, there was also a Greek philosopher, I think it was around the year 300, right around there, Epicurus. And maybe you've heard of Epicurean thought, and it is literally eat and drink and be merry, live only for today, because today is what you have. And Epicurus actually believed there was no God, no afterlife. And so eat, drink, and be merry today was his, probably put on his tombstone if he had one, because that's what he believed. So it's interesting that Jesus picked up on that phrase. I bet there are a lot of people in his day who were living only for that day. Well, in fact, the guy who came, he was full of greed, wanting half of the inheritance so that he might eat and drink and be merry. But of course, you know, we read in one commentary, the problem with this, and well, Jesus uses the word life, where the man says, you know, and I will be content or whatever. Life is more than just the body. If it were just the body, it'd be okay. A barn full of corn would be fine and a bag of gold, but not just a body.
It would almost be like we were just animals then. I mean,
yeah,
my cats, I listen to them all the time going and getting food. And that's, you know, that's what
right.
They do.
We have a soul more than just the body. And because we have the soul, life is more than these circumstances of eating and drinking and living for today. And that's why Jesus points out, really, we're supposed to have our eye on our hearts, because our hearts are the greedy thing that are only looking for today. Instead, we should keep our eye on God and looking for things in heaven, things related to God. And this fits back again to the theme of Luke chapter 12. That we brought before, not earthly things, but look to and trust in God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You know, it begs the question, kind of, Cecilia, all this talk that Jesus did here. What really is life? How would you define life?
Oh, I know that answer.
Huh?
42.
42 what? 42 long? 42 short?
42.
40. What is that about?
Haven't you ever read The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy
by
Douglas Adams?
No, I have not.
Oh, well, he asks, what's the meaning of life? And his answer was always,
42. Well, now that has not. Well, 42 is nothing. So, how would you define life?
Well, let me think.
The size of my sport jacket.
Oh,
go on. I'm sorry. Life is
from my science classes. I remember that they talked about life being the ability to take in nourishment and somehow take in air and to be able to reproduce.
Oh, that's a tree, but that's not human life. Oh, by the way, that does separate you from a rock, I suppose. So what is human life?
Well, I would think that human life would be to be able to take an experience and to be able to think about it and to be able to build that experience into your existence.
So it includes thought and then using thoughts to change and improve. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else? Well, certainly we have emotions. You can add that in. That's different than a tree as well. I don't think a tree has emotions. No, there's still more to life than that.
I believe that life is also knowing that there is something else out there. Now, some people would say that that something out there is the force or the some nameless being that kind of watches over everything.
And philosophy has almost come up with that understanding through philosophical thought that there is a higher being, a being that is in charge or has created things. So that puts us in relationship with that. We're lesser of a being, human beings. Yeah, that's all true. But I guess kind of where I'm going here is I wonder if that's what Jesus was trying to get to. Too often we think life is just of the body.
Mm.
And you did kind of touch on that there is something beyond the body. If we want to think of life as the body, what we eat, what we drink, where we live, what we do, well, then life can be crap.
Yes, it can.
Jesus is trying to point out this other life force and that we have a soul with his word. So you kind of were answering my question in a way, Cecilia, very well, because Jesus talked about God who said, "You fool." He brought in the very fact that there is a God, there is a higher being. And that's where the difficulty lies, is because we realize that tomorrow we may die and then we face God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty scary because life is then very limited.
But it doesn't have to be scary.
It doesn't, because Jesus, the man who spoke this, he really is God. He is that being who said, "You fool." But instead, he is the one who came into our world, became a body, ate and drank, and he died. He died that fool's death that only saw that life was just this world. We call that sin, one aspect of it, that it's all about me. And he came back alive. And if we trust and believe in what he did for us, then we can have life as he has it, as he has said it and described it, that life is more than circumstances, what we eat and what we drink, where we live, but it goes on through eternity, which we call salvation, eternal life. I think it was C.S. Lewis who says, it's not that we have a body and a soul, but rather that the soul has a body. He always saw it as more important that the soul aspect than the body aspect. And that's why he was so strong in emphasizing looking beyond. Well, like Paul says, set your eyes on things above where Christ is seated in the heavens. That's Colossians 3:1.
And next week, we'll talk more about that, more about thinking about life and what tomorrow will bring us.
But until then, we say goodbye, but do as you say goodbye, write us. And you can do so at
info,
I-N-F-O,
at not-alone,
N-O-T-A-L-O-N-E,
dot N-E-T.
Oh, is that how you spell that?
I think so.
Oh, good.
And remember, as we have life, we have hope, and
we
are not alone.
Do come back again to room 4216.
And so the business grew.
I know what I'll do. I'll sell my tour business. Oops, I forgot something.
Yes, you did.
I ought to be ashamed of myself, shouldn't I?
Shame, shame, shame. to the Southern Gael.
Credits. Chopin's Funeral Dirge. Piano Sonata No. 2. Opus 35. In B-flat minor. The Heart of Worship. Written by Matt Redmond. Performed by Michael W. Smith. Interlude musicians. Robert Vaughn and Terry Nord.